Cougar Sports on ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Crittle alongside Janimal, the Saint. You know, we can't call you the Saint anymore, right?
No,
we
Janimal.
Can I call you the Latter-day Saint, Janimal?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Always.
Jan Jorgensen's by my side, and the special guest did arrive, Brian Keel, BYU legendary outside linebacker, still living the dream. He will be performing on Pro Day this Friday, and I will be in attendance watching him run his best 40 time ever. Brian Keel, we welcome you in. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, thanks for stopping
Although
by.
Although it sounds like you were planning on having me preemptively. That's what it sounds like. This is what the drift that I caught from your intro there.
I'm just glad I said we may have a special.
This is what happened. I said we may have a special guest coming up in the next segment. If we couldn't convince him, he's a busy
Those
man.
Those are radio tactics right there. Yeah, Teasers.
Indeed. I said maybe.
We had to put the pressure on you because if you wouldn't
I wouldn't have said no.
It's we would have made fun of you relentlessly.
I wouldn't have said no. It's fine.
On your way out, when you were driving away in your vehicle, you would have heard us, you know, try to take a few low blows, and that's okay. Yeah. That's just how it goes.
I'm sure you still will, but it's fine.
Chick said, I wanted to talk to you about the NFL Veterans Combine. Just occurred this last weekend. It was a chance for some of these vets to get out there and compete, show their skills, show that they're still in good enough shape to compete with some of these young bucks out there that don't know just how tough it is to be in the NFL. I think it was disappointing for most of them. I don't know what the NFL was thinking, but employing a new technology to time a 40, you just hope and pray that these GMs, these scouts, those that were in attendance with those hand 40 timers were just kind of shaking their heads. Well, that's not an accurate time. And, what did you think overall?
I thought it was shameful that they did that. And most people don't know that everybody that saw the coverage saw that the times were terribly slow and just assumed all these guys have lost it. No, what happened is, as Ben said, they tested out this new wrist timing system. And you know, it almost makes you wonder if that's the whole reason they did this.
Yeah.
Veterans
that's
Combine.
What I wondered.
They could test out this system. And the thing that I think is shameful, it's fine to test it out. They should have tested it out before these guys because it kind of sabotage the careers of some of these players, like Michael Bush, for instance. But it's fine to test it out, but they need to have disclosure. And I skimmed through the recording of the NFL Network's little hour-long Michael Sam documentary that they did of this veteran combine. And it was just unfortunate they didn't say, hey, you know what? These times really aren't that accurate.
Why did they run both, right? Why didn't they have the normal way that
it's
they do
question,
the combine?
Jeff.
Why don't yeah, they do?
My,
why don't they do
great
both?
Question.
Yeah, my issue with
it's
it was
great
more
question.
Not that
with,
hard.
With more of the transparency of it, you invite someone out to a competition, and then you don't tell them, "Oh, this, yeah, it's a combine."
Yeah.
It's like, okay, what should I be training for? You know, it's your traditional
everything.
You know, and then all of a sudden you get there, it's like, oh no, 40-yard dash in position group.
Yep. And so, you know, our good friend Vic trained for everything, spent a lot of time training for the three cone and Harvey, spent a lot of time training for the three cone and the pro agility. And then they get there and it's almost as if that time was wasted because those drills, I mean, they don't help you in football. It's a drill that you waste time on if you're only training for it for something that's not going to happen.
Well, give some insight there, because I don't think people realize how much you train for those drills.
The three cone and the pro agility do not translate to the football field in making you a better football player. Now, can you get a gauge on how athletic a guy is from their time in those drills? Yes. So it will help you in evaluation. But as far as training to be a better football player, you don't want to go do a three cone or a pro agility. That's not going to make you a better football player.
Brian Keel, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
If a young athlete goes out and runs, say for instance, you go out and you run a 4.440 at pro day, but you go out there in the position group drills and you just look lost. You can't karaoke, you can't backpedal, you can't do anything, you just look awkward. Will you get picked up because you're 40?
No.
You're sure?
Well, it depends on how big.
If I'm my size,
I'm going to get picked up just because of my 40. I'm not going to make the team for sure, but they're going to take a look at me.
Because of the
4.4. If I'm 190 pounds, that's not the case. But if I'm 190 pounds and I run a 4.3, then I'm going to get picked up and looked at just because of my 40.
I think what they are transparent about is their over-infatuation with
the
40-yard dash.
No question.
I was talking to Sky Povey, right? And Sky tests out well in just about everything except for the 40. And he's like, well, I'm working on my bench, I'm working on my ProJo, I'm testing out really well on all those things. I'm like, stop all of it,
yeah.
Sky, stop all of it. Sure. Work on your top end speed and only worry about your 40 in this last month. He's like, really?
Yeah.
I'm like, yes. And you know, he was talking about how the first 10 yards, he's like, oh, we've been working on the first 10 yards and that's what's important. I'm like, it's important, but you need to work on all top aspects end. Of your 40.
Yes.
They will not take you if you run a 4.6.
No
if you
question.
Run a 4.5, then
not
with
at
your
his
film.
Weight. Not at his weight.
Not at his weight, right? Mm-hmm. And it has
if he was
everything 220, to do with the 40.
It'd be a different story, but he's not.
It's an interesting thing to think about, because if you think about going back and doing that whole process over again, I wouldn't have wasted the time prepping for my pro agility and this recoil in the way I did. I would have prepped for it, but all of it would have gone for it. The bench, all that stuff, they don't care
about the bench.
Even as a defensive lineman, they don't really care.
They don't care.
There's
offensive linemen that weigh 300 plus, that do 18, 20, 22 reps, which is pathetic for a 300-pound guy. Mm-hmm. And they don't care. They don't bat an eye at that.
Nope.
I think they're even more concerned about how long your arms are, how big your hands are, more so than your bench press. The bench press needs to be done away with. I'm going into the pro combine or pro day for that matter, I might not even bench just because I don't want to exert any energy.
And here's the thing. The bench press, perfect example. At the Giants, we had Matthias Kiwanuka. We played against him here at BYU in Boston College.
Didn't he only do like 5 reps?
I don't know how many reps he did, but I know it couldn't have been much because it, just in our workouts at the Giants, I remember one time watching him struggle to bench 275 5 times. For a guy that weighs 260, That shouldn't be a struggle, okay? I remember watching that, and then an hour later being on the practice field and seeing him pick up and absolutely toss a 315-pound left tackle. It's just he's got it on the field, and that's all that matters. The bench press, I mean, it doesn't make you a good football player.
Yeah, I feel bad for, you know, in going off of coming back to what we initially started off in this conversation. There was some great athletes out there. And Harvey Unga, Vic Soto, both, I thought, put up good numbers, comparable numbers to what was out there, right?
Yeah, and so that's the thing. I'm glad you brought that back up. I just wanted to throw some numbers out for the listeners just so they have an idea. If they paid attention or saw the coverage of this Veterans Combine, they saw the slow times. The fastest 40 by a running back at this Veterans Combine was a 4.74. It was Darrell Scott from LSU. When he came out of the Combine 4 years ago, he ran a 4.38.
Yeah, do you think he's that much
slower? No. I mean, a guy that fast could literally sit on his butt for 2 years and still run a 4.6.
An even more recent example, only 2 years removed, Sierre Wood, who BYU faced off against at Notre Dame, ran a 4.56 at the Combine and ran a 4.93 at this. 2 years removed. At 212 or 215 pounds.
It's just a joke.
So I think in looking at Harvey's, and I don't know Vic's times, but looking at Harvey's times.
Vic ran a 5. I just saw it today, yeah.
So at a 5. Okay, yeah. But so we'll go back to that real quick. Let me make my point
about
Harvey.
He ran a 4.93 and a 5 flat. It was Vic. And Harvey ran a 4.94.
4.94.
Yeah.
So looking at that and looking at what Harvey also ran.
When he came out.
When he came out, he ran about a low 4.6, yep. I think it was. At his weight, he came in the heaviest out of all the running backs.
Yeah.
So I think that bodes well for him. And I think Vic is in that same boat. Ran a comparable 40 or even a better 40 than some
other
of these
linebackers,
guys, and he was heavier.
Mm-hmm. So that's how they should look at it. Who knows if they are. And like I said, I think it's kind of shameful that they pulled the wool over the eyes of so many people and didn't say, yeah, you know what, it's on us. These times really aren't that slow. I mean, Felix Jones, first-round pick, running back, a burner. When he came out, he ran a 4.47. The other day, he ran a 4.79. There's just no way. And they just talked,
he's
oh,
only
wow.
27 years old.
They talked, oh, he's lost a step. This guy was a speed guy, and he's lost a step. And they sat there with a straight face and said that, and I'm sitting there looking at my wife.
Daniel Jeremiah.
Come on, man.
What do you think is the motivation for this, though?
I don't know.
Like, why are they trying to justify the fact that they don't give these guys another chance? Kind of they chew you up and spit you out? Are they trying to justify that?
Care.
What do you think it is?
I don't think they care about that. So that's, I mean, it could be, but that would surprise me because I don't think they care enough to try and justify what they do.
But I will say this.
It was mislabeled a veterans combine. It wasn't a veterans combine. There were like 15 guys there that qualify as veterans.
Uh-huh.
Out of the 105 players, the vast majority of them were 1 to 3 players. A lot of those players had never even played a single snap in the regular season. And so I don't know even why they called it a veterans combine. It should have been called a young guys combine.
Yeah, a lot of them were picked up by teams but cut eventually before the beginning of the season, like a Sierra Wood, who I don't even think – well, actually, he might have played a few games, but there was a ton of guys, like you mentioned.
I finally saw the list on Sunday, and I only recognized a handful of the names. Most of the names, I didn't even recognize these guys.
There was a wide receiver quarterback out of Army that got, like, a little segment in that that production that the NFL put
up. I missed it.
Yeah, I think he had to serve his duty, for the last few years, and he comes back. But he was a quarterback at Army, and he's trying out as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
But they talked about, like, what, three or four guys. They talked about Jamal Anderson, the 6'6" beast that was a first-round draft pick in 2007, 2008. Yeah. They talked a little bit about Brady Quinn. They talked a little bit about Felix Jones.
Yeah.
And who was the other guy?
Michael Sam.
How did I forget that one?
Yeah, they spent a good portion talking about him.
Well, it makes you wonder, why have this, right? Because if you sit back there and think about it, if that's all that's going to come for that, I could understand if you have guys like a Michael Bush, like a Felix Jones.
Yeah, and that's who it should be.
That's
for.
Who it's for.
It
but these
for
Michael Sam, they just saw you last year.
1 year ago. Yeah. He ran, I mean, so Michael Bush, perfect candidate for this, or Adam Carriker, the D lineman, who was also a first round pick. I played with him at the Redskins. He's a great football player, but just shredded his leg. He tore his quad twice. And Jamal Anderson also had, I think it's the same thing. I think he tore his quad too. He did something to his knee. And Felix Jones coming off of injuries. I think that's the type of thing where this actually serves a purpose. Yeah, here's a guy. We have his game tape over here. But he was injured.
We want to make sure he can still do it on the clock.
And teams have the ability to bring any of these guys or myself in and look at us, but they haven't. So here's an opportunity for all the teams to see it at once. As far as the young guys, I mean, that's what they wanted. That's what they were catering to, but I don't think it makes as much sense. But I'm biased because I'm old.
Hey, man, well, we're looking forward to your performance this week. We'll be watching intently. Good luck, Brian. Our positive thoughts and prayers are definitely being emanated your way, man. Appreciate
Thanks,
you
bro.
Coming in. Jan Jorgensen's still with me. We got to say farewell to our good friend Brian Keel, but stay tuned. We got the Olympic Sports Update coming up next. Cougar Sports, ESPN 960.